This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder. The upcoming draft obviously is on our mind, like everybody. We are getting closer and closer to it. We're about 8 days away from the draft now. The draft lottery, the ping pong balls, and everybody finding out what pick they're going to get. So we're pumped up about that. And we have a player we're going to talk about. Today we're going to be talking about Kai Jones from Texas.
Man, this guy is really exciting. There's a lot of really cool things about this guy. A lot of things that stood out to me, and there's a lot of question marks that I had as well. But let's just get to the comparison right away, because I feel like this is one of those guys that's really a good way of kind of recognizing where he's at, I guess you could say. So the low end of where he could be is in 5 years is the EuroLeague, all right? Obviously, this is one thing that you're always taking a risk at when you're getting an incredibly talented athlete like Kai is. The medium way, I would say medium, would be in 5 years, he could be like a Christian Wood. Again, still a good way of saying buying in for that type of player is a good idea. In the high end, no doubt in my mind, he is an Al Horford type player if he can develop. Now, he needs time in the G League to be able to do this. And personally, I think that the Thunder would be very smart to keep him in the G League for 1 year, making him a 2022 player that's coming and playing for the Thunder full time. He's one of those guys that just needs a little bit more time to understand how the offense and how the defense is going to be run in the NBA. But don't mistake in me saying that he needs time, as he is not a high-end player. He is one of those guys that makes me incredibly excited. He shot 38% from three last year. He is 6'11" with a 7 foot wingspan, a 7 foot one wingspan. Like Mark said, he played for Texas, and this is his second year. So we got 2 years of film to be able to watch him. Both of these years, he played all the games that they were able to play, 26 and 27 games, averaging 22 minutes this year and 16 last year. 8.8 points this year and 3.6 last year. So there's time there. You can see that he can do things. His block shots, he can definitely block the shot. The way that he is able to stretch the floor and get up the floor very, very quickly. So he's very good at blocking the shot, turning around, and sprinting up. Kind of like Moses Brown does really well for us right now. But he's more of an athlete on getting up that floor. I don't think you could ever have enough 6'11" players on your team that can do the things that he can do. Shooting is a big thing, but he was really handicapped there in Texas due to the fact that there were other forwards that coach was really trying to highlight. He really deserved to get more minutes than 22 minutes a game, and that's why there's a lot of question marks of what he can do in the NBA. There is no doubt in my mind he is going to be a lottery pick. I would love to see him drop to 18 where the Thunder could pick him up and be one of those guys that drop down and Thunder get him, kind of like what Poku did this last year. But looking at where I feel like his best fits at, besides the Oklahoma City Thunder, are two other teams that are very good at developing young players, one of which are the New England Pelicans and the other one is Toronto. These two guys, or these two teams or an organization, know how to develop players. But that's what this guy needs. He needs time to develop. I do think he could be an all-star in the NBA for multiple times. Like I said, an Al Horford type player. But on the low end, he could end up in the EuroLeague for quite a while. And again, that's not a diss on anybody. That's not me saying negative about anybody, because that could happen to anybody in this draft. But he is the one big question mark. Is he talented enough to be in the NBA? Oh, hell yes. Is he? Can he jump enough? Oh, yeah. Can he shoot the ball well enough? Yes. Can he play defense well enough? Definitely. Is his IQ where it needs to be? That is the question. And I watched him at Texas, and I want to know with the way that he was being played, and ask, you know, coach, why was he being played like this? Was there a concern that you had? Or was this just a way that you were trying to get your other players more playing time? Again, there's a lot of things that happen in Texas. We've had a player obviously do very well in our organization from Texas, being Kevin Durant. So I do think that this guy has that ability to be an unbelievable player. I do think he will end up being one of those players that a lot of teams will look back and say, I can't believe we passed on him. But the reality is this is a very crazy draft, and I'm excited to see all the players. But this guy right here, he is one of the best defenders laterally. He can jump with the best of him. And when he drives to the hole with the ball, it's exciting. He does a very good job handling the ball. One of the things I like about him, too, is he doesn't need space. He doesn't need space at all to be able to do what he is able to do. He is a pure athlete, meaning he could jump up and down in very limited space, get the offensive rebound, which he is so good at. And he's just one of those guys that I get really excited about, Mark.
So Kai Jones is 20 years old, and that kind of puts him at the older end of the group we're looking at. He turns 21 in January. He's 6'11". He has a 7'1" wingspan, and like Dave mentioned, he has the ability to really get up there and block some shots and finish around the rim. He looks like finishing around the rim. He looks a lot like Tyson Chandler or a player like that. Also, he does a great job defending the rim. I think maybe you could maybe look at him like a potentially like a Marcus Camby type player who could really get out there and block some shots. The thing that kind of makes him intriguing is his post game. His perimeter game makes him really intriguing because he's proven that he can shoot the three, although his mechanics look very inconsistent, and that resulted in some shots that I would say were a little bit less than what he would want. They were kind of air balls or bank shots, things like that, that just kind of showed a lack of consistency. But the point is, in the end, this guy has the talent to play in the NBA. He's going to be in the league for a few years. There's no doubt about that. Whether or not he finds a place to stick, that's going to be the question. Like Dave mentioned, you watch his game, and it's easy to compare him to a player like Christian Wood because he's got all of the skills. But the question is, can Christian Wood guard, defend the hole as well as Kai can? I don't think so. I think Kai Jones has him there. I think you look at the energy and the effort and the dedication and the passion that Kai Jones demonstrates when he's out on the court. I think it's all very impressive. I think Christian Wood is a player that a lot of people weren't sure could be successful. He's got all the skills, but in the past, in the league that was dominated by players like Patrick Ewing, Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson, Shaquille O'Neal, those types of guys, Christian Wood would have had trouble fitting into the NBA. In fact, he may not have actually been able to be very impactful because the way the game was played, if you couldn't bang in the post, then you weren't going to make it in the post as a five in the league. But now the game is different, and Christian Wood has shown that you can do that. You can play on the perimeter. You can handle the ball. You're going to be fine. The rules work out just fine. You're not going to get bumped off the ball and stuff. So I think that shows that a player like Kai Jones can be successful, and I anticipate him having a really solid game. We were looking at another player, Isaiah Jackson from Kentucky, who is in the similar range, and they have kind of similar skill sets. I think in the end, Isaiah Jackson has a lot to offer, and I think Kai Jones does too. You could really talk yourself into either player if you were sitting in the spot that we will be around that. I think it's a 17, 18 pick range that we're going to have a pick coming up. It really could be either of those guys if that's what we're looking for. They both, show a lot of defensive versatility, the ability to run up and down the court. I would say that Kai Jones, to me, has a lot more polished perimeter offensive game than Isaiah Jackson, and I think that's kind of what we're looking at. And I think Isaiah Jackson, in my opinion, when you talk about him defending, you're thinking more of like a Ben Wallace, whereas Kai Jones is, I think, more of like a Marcus Camby.
Yeah, man, you brought up a lot of great points, and again, Kai is one of those guys that both Mark and I agree with. His ability is through the roof, but the question mark is he's going to be able to go to the right team and the right organization to help him develop that with no rush involved. That's the biggest question. And, you know, I think that that's where the new NBA is turning, is that big man. And that's why I think he's going to be very valuable in the next 5 years. I do think that he has that unique ability to be able to become one of those players that we see in the All-Star multiple times throughout his career. And I get excited about it. But the reality is it's all what we think could happen, and it's all up in the air. It doesn't necessarily mean that's what's going to happen.
Absolutely, but it's fun to speculate about. You know, as we get more and more into this, we keep, you know, looking at players that really have top 10 potential, and it's been really a lot of fun. We know that a lot depends on where players end up, and that's really important for their development, but as we get more into this, it's really been interesting to see how many players have this elite level of talent. And I've kind of like come to this conclusion that was pretty obvious to a lot of people earlier. I took my time coming to this conclusion. But when you look at a player like Franz Wagner or Kai Jones, you know, in so many drafts, these guys would be top 5, top 10, and definitely top 20. You know, but the key is in this draft is having a lot of picks. It's not about having the top pick. The more picks you have in this draft, the better. That's what it's all about. And there are so many guys that will fit into NBA teams in this draft that you could rebuild your roster completely entirely with this one draft. So it's about having a lot of picks instead of having the top picks. We'll fortunately start out with some very good picks, and we'll work from there, or pick and then maybe possibly picks. But I think that we're going to be looking to trade down. I've come to that conclusion very, very strongly, just because there's so many players that you can find ways to fit into your team for the long-term future. And a player like Kai Jones, to me, could easily be a top 10 player in last year's draft. And you know, sure, he could fall outside the top 20 in this draft. So it's all about how many of these guys you get. As long as you have a development system that's going to help them out like we do, I think you're going to be fine.
Yeah, man. And, you know, speaking of trading up and getting that draft pick in order to be able to do that, you know, there's a lot of ways that we can be able to facilitate that. But one of the ways that I've been consistently looking at almost every single trade of a team that has moved up from, you know, 17, 18, 19 spot all the way up to 11 and 12 spot, there's a lot of proof that this is the moment and this is the spot in a lot of drafts where a lot of players fall that are worth really seriously consider looking at. And I this is where I think Sam would be, you know, who of him to be able to figure this out. If he's sitting at 18 and he needs a 20 pick in order to team him up to jump up that far, this is a trade that would be definitely possible that we could look at to add assets to be able to jump that distance. Obviously, the Nuggets need help right now. They just got bumped from the playoffs. But Aaron Gordon did great there with the Nuggets. I just didn't feel like he was the perfect fit for the Nuggets and the way that they're trying to go. They need another leader on that team to help manage a lot of things that are going on there. So I look at Aaron Gordon and Al Horford as being a switch right there. But obviously we would be able to take in a first round pick, which theirs is in the 20s, like we were mentioning, and be able to package those two first rounds and move up in the draft. Now, Aaron Gordon is an incredibly valuable asset that, to me, looking at getting a first round and Aaron Gordon is kind of crazy, but his contract is only $16.4 million, meaning halfway through the year, he could be worth a substantial package for a team that only needs to pay $8 million to Aaron Gordon that Aaron wants to go play with after he's done. So looking at this is a really big move for us to be able to do. I don't necessarily think this is something that's going to happen with us, with everything that's going, but it could help us move up in the draft to be able to get to that 11-12 with our second pick that we have from Miami.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. We've got a lot that we're looking at, and that's what this is all about, is players that normally would be available, you know, in that 8 through 12 range are going to be available in that 16 through 20 range. so many different options and so many great things to look forward to. And Kai Jones is just another player that has a lot of upside and a lot of intrigue. So we're really pumped up about that and finding different ways to get more than, you know, one top 10 pick. And we say we know that we could get the Houston pick, but in the end, we want to focus on what's in our control. And if that happens, then obviously we're going to, you know, celebrate that and work forward from that. But in the case that that doesn't happen, that's the assumption that we're making all the time. How can we get a second top 10 pick? How can we find maybe a possibility of getting three in the top 20, you know, four in the first round? These types of things are all possibilities and even probabilities. And the question is, could we even get more? And where could we go from there? And could we move up? Could we move back? Could we maybe even load up with second rounders? I don't know. There's just so many different options that this draft is so full of different choices.
And I've been thinking about this for a while. Like, what are the possibilities of us keeping Al Horford? And Mark mentioned it. If we end up with two top five picks or top seven picks, this is a perfect opportunity for us to keep Al Horford for another year to help these guys develop. I don't think necessarily that's going to happen, but we wouldn't be needing to move up in the draft for another top 10 pick if we got two top seven picks. So these are the things that, like Mark has said, there's so much space and time to be thinking about it. It's kind of crazy. And that's why when we hear these other podcasts that get hyper-focused on the top three or four picks of the draft, it's like, yeah, man, you could do that. But the reality is there's going to be more than two or even possibly three guys on this in this draft that are going to end up on this Thunder team. That means that we really want to break down every possibility that this could happen, because we need to know how the next player is going to fit and how they're going to fit in this system.
Yeah, and I think that's a great way to, you know, to put it, because that's why we do this. That's why we do it one player at a time, is so that whenever, you know, we do get our picks, we can, you know, we know we have a starting point and we can watch them develop from there. And we love it, man. We love doing this every day. So we appreciate you taking the time to join us for The Last Storm. We're going to be back tomorrow with a new episode. We got a new player that we're going to be going over and looking at different management situations we can do to make this team better. And obviously, like I said, find ways to get more picks in the first round or the second round of this upcoming draft. This is a fun, fun draft. And we really appreciate you taking the time to join us for this episode. And once again, this is just a reminder that this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.